This passage is like every other passage that we've covered in James. It's just packed. It's just packed. And I know that even though we gain an hour, you don't have an hour to spare, right? So I'm going to try to just speak about one of the aspects of what this passage gives us. Last week we were talking about two wisdoms, right? The wisdom of the world and the wisdom which draws from the Spirit of God. And that reminded me of a short form parable, I would call it, that goes like this. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He says, "A fight is going on inside of me," he said to the boy. "It is a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." And he continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. And the grandson thought about it a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." Now, this is a well-known story, right? It's been around for a long time and it's been used quite a bit. But although I don't know when the Cherokee Nation originated or where that really came from, if it was before or after the times of James, it's obvious that the people that James is dealing with were dealing with a similar subject matter. This audience to whom James is trying to communicate is also struggling with that war within. They says, "Do they," this is the first verse on chapter 4, "do they," referring to the conflicts and all the disputes, the divisions that were going on in those communities, says, "Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you?" Remember that last week? We did cover that in chapter 4. "Do they not come from the cravings that are at war within you?" So it is within that this struggle is going on. And James recognizes that there is this war and that the two parties are at it constantly. And it so happens that these two wolves, regardless of which one you feed, these two wolves still go on. It's not that one will go away and win and the other one will just pass away. The other one, even if he got beaten for that day, next day he'll come back and try to get some more scraps. It so happens that these two will always be there. And I guess the point is that much of our internal warring is projected towards others because we're not willing or able to acknowledge that it is within that we have this struggle. So how do we deal with that? Well, we remember last week we addressed that. It says, James says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Draw near him, and he will draw near to you." So, here's where the text today is helpful. What comes before our text is a series of sections where James is dealing with the reality of our actions And again, that context of these wisdoms, the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God, and all this warring that is going in us, it is manifested in our actions. All right? We see that through the things that we do. So as he is working through this, he ends up also talking about other issues. The first one that he mentions, it exhorts us not to speak evil against one another. Because whoever does judge the other is not necessarily a doer of the law. That's before we get into our text. They're just an observer. Right? The judge is the one that sees. It's not the one that's necessarily doing. So he says, don't speak evil against the other, because you become then a judge. In another section, he addresses the rich folk in not pleasant terms. He does this by pointing the reward of their fraud. Basically, he's telling them that those who are suffering, those who are under them, who are suffering because they allow that to happen. And that's not a good outcome for them. The next thing that he does, and he is that he addresses those who suffer. And check this out. He asks them to be patient. He says, like the farmer who waits for the crop, just wait for it. Wait for it. He asked them also to be strong and not to grumble against the oppressor. Now, I didn't know that James was still here with us. He's been hearing the news. He's been checking out what's going on in our society, because it seems like this is happening among us. There's a lot of suffering. And those who suffer, guess what they do, right? It happens. It's the natural thing. Then verse 12 says, do not swear. Of course, there's this line all around New York City that they cannot hear that. And that was a joke, guys, okay? I don't know if you see these things, but how is it? I wonder, how is it that we can do these things in our lives? Because it is so natural. We are so predisposed to judging. We're so predisposed to looking at the other rather than looking at ourselves. We're so predisposed to grumbling when we're in suffering. We're so predisposed. I mean, this is just the natural way of doing things for all human beings. Even swearing. But here's James trying to address our actions and trying to get us to see that that comes out of a place that is not healthy. It is not a place where there is peace. It's not a place where there is contentment. It is just a lashing back at the world. So how is it that we can do that in our lives? And you may wonder the same question. And this is what James says. Don't speak evil against the other. Do not oppress the other. Be impatient in the suffering. How in the world do you do that? being patient in this suffering, there's no such thing. Well, the answer, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. In prayer, if you are suffering, and in song, of praise, if you're cheerful. I mean, I don't know if you heard that. If you're suffering, prayer. If things are going well, song, praise. Now, we do that here on Sundays, don't we?
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
We sing of joy, and we sing of sorrow, we sing of all kinds of different themes, things that are going on and that are real, but we sing these to God, we worship God, we pray, don't we? Well, I hope we do. We pray, we sing, this is worship. But what James is saying, do this every day. Go there all the time because you're going to need it. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but some Sundays I come in here and I'm not necessarily cheerful. Right? Anybody? All right. And it's true. Sometimes I come here on Sundays and I'm not ready to pray. I'm going to see the news, you know, the post and Facebook, the pastor doesn't pray. You know, it's going to be out there, right? Pastor just says he's not ready to pray. You know, wait a minute, you know, time out. What is this? This is our spiritual leader. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, right? But isn't it real?
Yes, it is.
Sometimes we're not feeling it. Still, there is something that calls us to come, right? Something is calling us just to participate. And sometimes, even in the middle of all the worship, we do get the joy. Even if we didn't come ready for it. Even if we would rather grumble. Sometimes just God just speaks to us. And sometimes God just puts it in that place where prayer then becomes meaningful, even though that's the last thing we want to do. This is the wonder of God. Amen. This is what happens when we come into God's presence. So recognizing that there's this war going on, we still need to feed our spirit. So as we do this, as we come on Sunday, as we worship in our week, we're drawing near to God. So prayer is the exhortation that James has for us. And prayer is not a joke. Agree? Prayer is not a joke. It's a discipline. It is work. It's mindfulness. It's recognition that we're warring and that we're seeking God. And that seeking is for God's perspective and God's wisdom to be upon us through His Spirit, that He will lead us. That He would feed that which needs to take over in our lives. Perhaps you remember George's prayer last week. To me, that's an example. And it stayed with me throughout the week. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Wow, right? Such a simple prayer, but intense. Intense, I tell you. Because it is so important that we have serenity and acceptance of things, but it is also so important that we have courage and have change happen in our lives, right? And for all that, we need wisdom. We need wisdom to see what my next move is. You remember the saying I had a few weeks ago? It's not about you, but it is. Right? It's not about you, but it is. Because it is us who have to make these decisions. It is us who have to deal with the next person in our journey. It is us who have to address the situations in our lives. Now, the person that writes the blog that it's called Virtue for Life is the one that where I found the story that I read. He makes a comment on the story of the wolves, and he says, "Our thoughts can be our own worst enemy." You've heard something like that, right? Deceitful is the heart more than anything, right? Something like that we hear in Scripture. That is, if we let them. Think about how you may be feeding your negative thoughts by allowing them to rule your mind. Next time you have a negative thought, catch it and ask yourself, what is this thought doing for me? You will find that the answer is that all they are doing is disempowering you. You can immediately feel more empowered by focusing on something good in your life. And cultivate, wait for it, and cultivate the practice of gratitude.
Amen.
Wow. Catch thoughts? I never thought about that. Catch the way that you're thinking. Contemplate. Not allow them to disempower you, but shift the whole conversation, this whole war that is going on, shift it towards focusing on the good. Now, it's hard to focus on the good when things are not going well. Anybody?
Amen.
Right. Anyone? It's hard. But it's not impossible. It's hard because we're just used to going there, right? We're used to that path. We're used to walking in that thing. It's like when you're going home, you know that you sort of flip the switch and then you're going automatic. You don't even realize that you're going home. Anybody? I mean, I found myself leaving this place, and I know that I'm going elsewhere. I find myself going home. It's like, oh, wait a minute. What am I doing? You know, why am I going this way? Why? Because we're already pre-programmed. We're conditioned. We're just looking towards the time that we can get home, right? And we miss it. But sometimes we just need to flip that. We just need to be conscious about it, and we need to be purposeful into finding the other way. The one that really can help me in all my things, all the situations in my life. And I don't know about you, but that seems like work, right? It just seems like work to me. It seems like there's an effort behind it. It's not a passive activity. It's not a matter of diversion or leisure. It's a matter of life. It's a matter of taking time in our lives. Now, I'm going back to the reason why James is saying these things. In chapter 4, we discovered that the reason for the exhortation had its genesis, its beginning in divisiveness and the conflictive relationship and activity that is going on to the people that are reading this letter. Right? We read that. It was right there. Divisiveness and conflict. That's the reason why James is addressing all this. Some wanted to get their way, and they were not recognizing their own part in the conflict. Now, this work of prayer is the ointment for healing. I'm going to say that again. The work of prayer is the ointment for healing, is the anointing that we need, right? You know, James says that if anybody is ill, call the elders, right? And let the elders anoint them with oil. I think that this is the part that is so important for us. The work is healing. Are you with me? I'm going to let that sit for just a bit. The work of prayer. This is the work of self-assessment. It's the work of humility. Humble thyself in the eyes of the Lord. Remember that from last week? I mean, it's the work of prayer. Is that anointment for the soul of each one of us? And actually, it also translates to the soul and the being of the community. And it's not just us. It becomes that thing that is really feeding everybody else that is around you. Now, you remember that prayer. Now the Lord said in John 17 that they may be one just as you and I are one, right? And sometimes we think that unity is uniformity, right? But unity does not mean uniformity, right? Unity means that we just band together, right? Even when there's differences. This is the struggle that we've had in church like forever. The conflicts, the disputes that he's talking about, they are the ones that are coming from us because we're seeking for our own way rather for the unity that we can experience. Shalom. Shalom. You know what that is?
Peace.
It's way beyond peace. It's wholeness. It's harmony. It's being. This is what the prayer for the people of the synagogue in Pennsylvania are praying. May your shalom come. Be here. In the time of need, a time that is of suffering, it's very easy to just lash out of the pain, out of the hurt. It's so easy just to lash out and just start pointing the fingers, right? But shalom can only come when God's presence is there. And in order for God's presence to be there, that state of peace, harmony, balance, wholeness will come to us. Now, Mike Devich asked me to have the elders come and pray for him and anoint him with oil. And we did. And then he wanted to have the opportunity to have a hymn sing at home. And we did. What a witness. He said to me, The Bible says, right? The Bible says that if you're in this situation, call upon the elders and they will come and anoint you. And you know what? He says, I believe it. I believe it. So you see, there's a step in this, our actions. It's a step that has to do with faith. James gets into a little bit of all that when he says, you know, even the prayer of those who are righteous is powerful. He says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. I don't know if you caught that, but there's a one another there. Hello?
Yes.
Right? There's a one another. There's a relational, a communal thing here that is going on. There's power in the one another. Now, I will finish with this. Good. It wasn't all that much as an hour. Great. You know, he wanted, I'm talking about Mike. He wanted to have the people come around and we wanted to encourage him in his suffering. And also rejoice in his hope. But this is what happened in reality. In the process of us trying to encourage him, he encouraged us. Isn't that weird? In the process of us trying to rejoice with him, I just felt his joy really rejoicing us. Shalom. Maybe there is a way that we can experience that in our lives. And you know what? That pursuit is worth the work. Let's pray. Because it's not only worth it for us. It's worth it for our homes, for our community, for our nation. I think it's worth the work. Let's pray. Father, we come to you with this realization that we're unsettled. This realization that still there's this thing that is going on, and sometimes we feed the wolf that is good, and we still have these other things going on in us, within us. And we realize that it is a struggle. And for that struggle, Lord, we just need you. We need you because it is the only part, the one that comes from above, from the divine. That is the source of shalom. Where those who are suffering can be patient. Those who are struggling can see hope. Those who are ill, Lord, can see healing. I mean, it is you. And today, Lord, we just come to you and lift ourselves to you. And ask that you continually give us the strength to fight this war, not with our own power, but the power of your Spirit. So that we may take a step back and look at the world in a different way. Not as enemies, but as those who are community. The ones that need our help. The ones that need our leading. The ones that need a light that you can bring into their lives. How are they going to know if it's not through you? So we pray, Lord, that we may be your vessels for the hope that it needs, is so much needed in this world. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.